online on Tuesday night as well. All right, I think that's it by way of announcements. And so if you have a Bible, open up your Bibles this evening. Now, I joke around with the guys sometimes because let's say on a Wednesday morning Bible study, we're going through a series or we're going through a book or we're doing something like that. And the guys will say, well, you know, I was going to be done this week, but I don't think I can be done till next week or 2 weeks. And I always tell them, it's okay. We are not racing, okay? We're not racing. We're not so any of that. But tonight, we are racing, okay? So tonight, we're going to try, we're going to attempt to cover the royal record of Joseph pastoring 128 verses, okay? Because we've been in Psalm 119 for a while now. And a lot of these verses, well, almost every one of these verses are saying the same thing in a maybe a little bit of a different way about the importance of God's word and how it transforms us, how it changes us, how it encourages us, how it convicts us, how it directs us. There's a ton of stuff it talks about in Psalm 119. And so this evening, we're going to try to finish off Psalm 119 and do this many verses. Now, you know what's neat about the Word of God and the power of the Word of God? And I've seen it work so many times. And the thing that I guess I could compare it with a little bit, at least, probably not the greatest comparison, but every year, usually here in Silver City, we get what we call the monsoon season. You guys know what that is, right? The monsoon season comes, and practically every afternoon when that happens, we get rain. And the neat thing about the monsoon season is the effect that it has on the earth. The rain comes down, the earth responds by producing vegetation. Now, in our case, it's mostly weeds, but it's vegetation, right? And so the desert begins to blossom, begins to turn green. I remember a few years ago leaving Silver City and going out towards Lordsburg. And getting out there in where it kind of drops down and everything was yellow. There was these little flowers that had blossomed out in the desert. It looked beautiful. And it was all because of the monsoons. And so what we see in nature, God uses to teach us spiritual truths about the power of the Word of God. And so we see that the changes that happen with the earth when the snow and the rain come, and the soil takes that moisture in, and then things happen. Well, it's like that with the Word of God. The Word of God lands upon the soil of men's hearts, and I've experienced it. You probably have experienced it profoundly in your own life. Awesome things begin to take place within you. As the seed of God's Word is planted and watered, then things begin to grow. Things begin to happen. Fruit comes. And it's a neat thing how the Word of God begins to transform and change our lives. I'm so grateful, and I'm grateful for this all the time, that somebody was brave enough to give me a Bible. And, you know, that's one of the things I love to give out now. I love to give people Bibles because someone gave me a Bible. I started reading that Bible, and that Bible led me to faith in Christ. It brought me to repentance. And so, you know, the Word of God is powerful. And, you know, when you look at the Word of God in a general sense in our nation as well. I mean, how profound it's been in the United States. Because from the United States, in the United States from its foundation, God's Word has been one of the cornerstones of this nation. The Bible was actually at one time one of the main textbook in the schools at one time. And so the Word of God has had a profound effect, you know, especially in the past on this nation. I believe that's probably why one of the reasons, at least, that this nation has flourished and been so abundantly blessed, because God has been gracious to us as a people. He sent His rain, His word from heaven. And the America, at least at some point or at some points in its history, not as much now, has been very gospel saturated. And no doubt because of that, God has blessed the United States. How sad it is, though, that we as a nation, as of, I don't know, it seems like it's been getting worse and worse over the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, that it's just been getting worse. But it seems like we have been turning our backs on God foolishly as a nation. And When you do that, the same thing that happened to Israel probably is going to happen to us. Israel turned away from God. They turned to idolatry. And then, of course, they came under the disfavor of God. Hebrews 6:7, really neat verse, says land. It's a warning verse. It's a warning verse, but it also has the blessing and the cursing in it, the curse in it. It says land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful for those whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But the flip side, a land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed, and in the end it will be burned. So when the word of God lands upon that soil, if it's good soil and produces a good crop, God's going to bless it. But if it doesn't, then it'll be cursed and burned. Now, hopefully, on a personal level, we are producing a good crop, useful for the kingdom of God. And as we read and study and hear the word of God, it's changing us. It's transforming us. Isaiah 55, verse 10 says this, and I'm going to use this in the conference tomorrow, just to encourage the teachers, because when the teachers are teaching these little children, to me, it's one of the most important ministries of all, the teaching of children. And the reason I say that is because children's hearts are so open and pliable and teachable. I love talking to my grandchildren about Jesus and just the effect that it seems to have on them. Their hearts are so open, and they have such beautiful childlike faith. I remember years and years ago, we went to Israel, and we got there at nighttime. We got to Israel at night. We weren't doing a normal normal tour like we normally would. Normally, when you do a tour, you land in Israel. The tour guides and the tour bus comes and picks you up. They drive you to your hotel or maybe to the first site, and then you start your tour or the next day. This time, we didn't do that. We set it up to stay with believers in Israel. And so we contacted some church or two, and we had a group of us from our church. I think there were 18 of us, and we went to Romania, and then we went from Romania to Israel. And when we got to Israel, we got distributed to different cities, little towns or cities in Israel, and we got distributed to different families. So Dee and I, we got distributed to go stay with a family that was newly moved there, believers, Christians. They had just moved to Israel from Russia. So they only spoke Russian and we only spoke English. That was a really difficult week trying to communicate. I think we were playing, what do you call that, Pictionary? Drawing things, like trying to explain. It was really hard. Well, anyway, this one day we were all going to go on a trip. And we were supposed to follow the couple to this place, and we were going to meet at some place with some of the other believers. And so we get in the car and we start going, and they're driving. They drive kind of crazy over there. They're driving kind of fast, and we hit a stoplight and they just keep going. And pretty soon we're lost, right? We get out of the city, we're driving, and we are completely lost. Not only are we lost, when we arrived at night, I didn't pay that close attention to where we were or what we were doing, where we were staying. And so we get outside the city. Now we're out in the country and we're completely lost. And then I don't even know how to get us back to the city where we were. We're so lost, right? And I am freaking out. And back then there were no cell phones. We didn't have people's phone numbers. We didn't know how to contact anybody. And so I'm kind of getting nervous, right? I mean, not kind of. I was very nervous. And Dia was there, and we were discussing what to do. And my young daughters, Ajane and Ariana, they were little, and they were in the back seat. And all of a sudden, they hear this cute little voice. Hey, Dad, why don't we pull over and pray and ask God to help us? I'm like, that sounds like a great idea since we have nothing else, you know. So it was fantastic. Well, anyway, we did. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, we are completely lost. We don't know which roads to take. We don't know which way to turn. We don't even know what house we were staying in. We don't know anything. I said, so, Lord, all I can say is we need you to help us get back. And that's how we prayed. We just were like completely at the end of ourselves. And so it was wonderful. And so My daughters were brought up in Sunday school. My daughters were brought up hearing the gospel. My daughters were brought up hearing to trust the Lord, to cast your cares upon the Lord, to pray to the Lord. That's how we brought them up. So what a blessing that I got reminded as the pastor, right? Hey, Dad, why don't we pray, right? So we did, and we just started driving. We drove for like an hour, and all of a sudden we kind of come into this town. I go, is this the town we were in? And we start driving in on this main big city road, and it starts to get more and more apartments and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, one of my daughters goes, Dad, there's that place that we got some milk last night or something. And it was right across from the apartments we were staying in. We were so exciting. And so God led us back like miraculously, right? And it's so neat because, you know, here's what Isaiah 55:10 says, and I'm going to share it, like I said, tomorrow at the children's ministry, because when you're sowing the seeds of God's word in people's hearts, it takes, and here's what it says, this neat verse. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire it to achieve and the purpose for which I sent it. What a great promise that God's word has the power, like the rain coming down in the monsoons, to change things. And it does that in our lives. It changes people's lives. The word doesn't return empty. It accomplishes its purposes, its desire, and God's desire in that person's life. Now, one of my favorite things to do then, like I said, is to give people Bibles because of that, because what it did for me. Now, when I first started reading the Bible, what was really awesome is there were people praying for me that I would come to know the Lord. I didn't know that then. They were praying for me. This young lady gave me a Bible, started reading it. And I think in a combination of the Bible, their prayers, the Holy Spirit working, is what brought me to the place of realizing of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, realizing I needed to repent of my sins and change my lifestyle that I was living and surrender my life to follow the Lord, and to be his disciple. And so what a blessing that, and I was sharing this, I just taught Tuesday. I taught it Tuesday at the 10th Hour Project. They have a class of young people that are preparing for ministry or going into missions work. And I went and taught them there, and I was talking about, you know, the power of God's word to transform us and to change us and how it has this effect on us. And I was talking to them about how I was given a Bible and how it changed me. And so, you know, what to me, it's so exciting because, you know, when you see what God's word does in people's lives, it is just so profound and so powerful. There's such beautiful fruit. Now, what do I want to say next? Oh, yeah. I want to say next, turn over to page 8. Oh, that's not you guys. That's me. Okay. Never mind. And so, as we've been traveling through this book, the Psalms, obviously there's a ton of Psalms, right? And this Psalm has been very, very long, and there's a lot of awesome stuff in here. Now, we've been blessed as we've been going through this at a turtle's pace, to learn a lot that we've learned. But now what we're going to do is we're going to mount up with wings like eagles, and we're going to get a bird's eye view of the rest of this book, Psalm 119. And we're going to touch down and we're going to land a few times. I'm going to read a lot of it, and you just pay close attention to what it's saying. You know, there is a scripture in the New Testament that says, devote yourselves to the public reading of scripture. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing. But we're also going to stop here and there and talk about it. And so we're going to begin looking at Psalm 119. And we pick it up tonight in verse 49. And we're going to try to make it all the way to verse 176. And here's what it says. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For your word has given me life. I just want to say this about verse 50 and the idea here of comfort in our affliction. The Bible has a powerful effect in bringing comfort And it's like medicine to the soul. And it gives us life. The proud have, verse 51, the proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I love the psalmist here saying, I stay focused. I remember your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself, thinking back to all that God had been faithful to the nation of Israel throughout their history, brought this believer comfort, knowing the word of God, knowing the history of God. Verse 53, indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. He was upset to see how people were treating God's word and forsaking God in his own culture. And it upset him. I think about Lot. You know, Lot lived in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah. He probably really shouldn't have been there, but he lived there. And it says that he was vexed in his spirit when he saw the lives of the people that he lived in the midst of. And I think, you know, a lot of times us Christians here in the United States, I don't know about you guys, I don't watch the news very much. In fact, I just found out today, I didn't even know this, because I don't watch the news hardly ever. I just found out today that there was a mass shooting this week, right? And the reason I found out is because I texted Mike and I said, why is our flag at half-mast? And it was because of a mass shooting. There was, what, 10 or 11 people killed in California and 10 wounded. Any of you see that on the news? Yeah. See, I don't watch the news, so I didn't know that. But it's sad to see what's happening in our world. But these are the things and the signs that Jesus said would take place, that it would be like in the days of Noah, like in the days of Lot, that in the last days it would be like that again. And we're seeing the same wickedness and evil repeated again. So he says, indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I love that. You know, the psalmist wrote these psalms to sing to God, right? And how awesome I called somebody this week and they said, I said, what are you up to? And they go, listen to worship songs. It's what I do every day. I just listen to worship songs. I'm like, that's awesome. Verse 55, I remember your name in the night, O Lord. I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. Verse 57, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I will keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. Remember we talked about this? Your word, your word, your word. God's word is faithful. It's what we're to build our lives upon. I thought about my ways and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I like that. We ought to, at times, stop, examine ourselves, consider our ways, right? That's a good thing to do. And we'll talk about that again here in a little bit. Because we need to sometimes get But when you get in an airplane and you're going to fly from here to Los Angeles, Matt, where's Matt? Is he in here? Matt, what's that called when you set the thing to fly over there? What's that thing called? Compass. There you go. Yeah, see? That was a really hard, complicated word that I was looking for. And so sometimes we need to reset our compass, right? And he said, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. And so even in the times of trial, of coming under attack, he says, but I have not forgotten your law. Verse 62, at midnight, I love this. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you. You ever have insomnia? Yeah, it's awful, isn't it? You know, a good thing to do when you have insomnia, though, is just to spend some time with the Lord. Instead of sitting there stewing and thinking about all this other craziness, think about, Lord, how can I pray? Who can I pray for? And so he says, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you. I love this. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I feel closest to and feel most comfortable around believers. Because believers and myself, we have something in common. We have the Lord Jesus in common. This week, me and Kenny went to Albuquerque, so Las Cruces. And we hung out, we fellowshipped, We prayed on the golf course, and it was very nice. And so, you know, and it's just a blessing. You know, I'm a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Verse 65, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. How many of you can say amen to that? He's dealt well with us, right? All the time. Verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. I don't know about you guys. It's a great thing to pray. Lord, teach me to have good judgment and to have knowledge, spiritual understanding, and help me to grasp these things so I can apply them to my life. Verse 67, now this is a great verse. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, we've talked about David. David went through times of affliction, and the reason he really went through those afflictions, especially the bad ones, is because of his sin. And his sin brought him under the discipline of God, under the chastisement of God. And so he says, if this is indeed David, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. I'm back on course again. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. I love how he keeps asking him that same thing. Lord, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, teach me. You know, one of the most important things that we can have as Christians is a teachable heart. A heart that's open to hear what the Lord wants to teach us. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with all my heart, with my whole heart. The heart is as fat as grease. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It's kind of like he's saying there's no room for you in their hearts. Verse 71, but it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. You know, a lot of times when we go through times of discipline, times of affliction, times of chastisement, those are times for us to wake up spiritually and get our compass back, if you will, on the Lord, our focus back on the Lord. Sometimes the Lord allows us to go through those things to remind us that we need to get our lives back on course. And so that they're not bad things, they're good things most of the time. Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Mr. and Mrs. C, they had done this. We didn't know this. Well, I didn't know this, but I found out. They left a bunch of coins of silver to the grandkids. It's kind of neat. Dia and her sister have been going down there and going through stuff, going through the house. The legal document, the will. Yeah. See, it was a big word. These big words are really getting me. It was a will. They've been going through the will and looking at, you know, all the stuff. And one of the things in the will was, I guess, to distribute some of these coins that they had collected, old silver coins and all that, collected and given to the grandkids, which I think is kind of cool. And so it says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. You know, that has value, right? Gold and silver. But he says, your word is way better. It's way more important, way more valuable than gold and silver. Verse 73, your hands have made me and fashioned me. You know, we always argue with people, I do all the time, about the sacredness of life. That every single human, according to Psalm 139, which we'll get to later, tells us that God shaped us, God molded us, God knit us together in our mother's womb. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Every person has value. An abortion, killing a human being, is murder. This lady tries to tell, it's not murder, it's a fetus. You know, well, then you're crazy. Okay, so anyway, it makes me mad when they say stupid stuff like that. And this person that I was having this conversation with happened to say, we need to get rid of all guns because they're killing people. And then someone said something to her, and she goes, you're probably one of those crazy right-wingers that's against abortion. I'm like, wait a minute. On one hand, you're saying guns are bad because they kill people, and you're okay with 60-plus million babies being murdered in their mother's womb? Those are people, you know? And it's just, I don't know. Anyway, so your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And so we need to pray for that for people, right? Lord, open their eyes so they can understand. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me. I like that. Isn't it neat when you know someone's a believer and you see them and you're around them and it's just like, yes, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Back to that faith, the faithfulness of a God as a good father. How many of you had parents that loved you and you knew they loved you because they would spank you? Anybody? Yeah, that was me. I was so loved. It was really fantastic. Anyway, but my parents gave me discipline because, you know, I was always doing dumb stuff. But I thank God now. I didn't like it when it happened. But now that I look back, I'm thankful that the Lord had given me, the Lord gave me such great parents, right? The Lord, the Father is like that. Our God is like that. And that in faithfulness, you've afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word, according to your word to your servant. There we go. And so, you know, how awesome to, even when in an affliction, in discipline, praying for God's mercy and God's kindness. Verse 77, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. And let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. And I love this because it's easy to meditate on the wrong thing. It would be easy to meditate on, focus on, and put all your attention on being wrongfully treated or be spoken against with falsehood. But he says, you know what? I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to meditate on your precepts, on your truth. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. So this person, whether it was King David or not, was a person that wanted to encourage other believers. Let those who fear you turn to me. Verse 80, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. I like this. I think what he's basically saying is, Lord, help me to be faithful to you. Help me to have a blameless heart so that I'm not ashamed, nor do I bring shame to you. Verse 81, my soul faints for your salvation, but my hope in your word, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word. Now that's diligence, right? Looking in the word of God, reading it, studying it, meditating upon it, saying, when will you comfort me? Looking for promises, God's comfort in his word. Verse 83, for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? You know, he's kind of like saying, Lord, you know, life is short and my enemies want to get rid of me. How long before you deal with them? Verse 85, the proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. So David or whoever this is obviously had enemies. They were trying to destroy him. He's asking the Lord for help and deliverance and protection, for the Lord to fight his battles for him. Verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. One of my favorite prayers in the Bible was when Peter was drowning and he said, Lord, save me. You know, you don't have to have a really long prayer for God to hear you. I remember one time, this was after church on Easter, Christmas Eve. We were getting ready to go. And Christmas Eve, I forgot what day it fell on, but we weren't going to have a Christmas Day service that year. We just had a Christmas Eve service. The next day, I was taking three boys from this church on an elk hunt. And we were loading up the four-wheeler, and like a knucklehead, we had this ramp that went up, these ramps that went up to the back of the truck, and this kid had a real high four-wheel drive. And I had a four-wheeler with just two-wheel drive in the back wheels. So I'm driving the four-wheeler up the ramp, and I'm thinking to myself, I better get a little speed going up this ramp. So I kind of gun it. Well, when I gunned it, it yanked the ramps out from underneath the back wheel. And so I started going like this with the four-wheeler that's going to land on top of me. And it happened so quick. It was incredible. But I remember I cried out to the Lord. And here, you know what I said? Oh, Lord. That's all I said. Because I thought I was done for. And so somehow, in a knee-jerk reaction, when the four-wheeler was parallel like this and about to fall backwards and land on top of me, and I was 50 back then, okay? Now I might just be dead. But back then I was young. And so I was 50, right? And I don't know how I did it, but I jumped straight up in the air, but this way, you know? If I was jumping this way, I would have went up, but I was like this, so I went that way. I jumped back off the four-wheeler while it was falling, while I was praying. All this was simultaneous. And then I landed on my back on the ground, like boom. And miraculously, I didn't get hurt. Now, think about it. I would challenge any of you right now to go stand in the back of a truck and jump out and land on your back and see what happens, right? We'll be visiting you in Gila Regional, right? Well, nothing happened to me. And not only that, but the four-wheeler that was about to land on me, this kid was standing there and he reacted in split-second fashion, grabbed the front wheel and yanked it toward him. And so I land on the ground and the four-wheeler was coming at me I could see it. And all of a sudden it goes boom and lands right next to me. Whew. And so I was about to meet Jesus, and then all of a sudden, I didn't get to, you know? And I was praising him for that. But, you know, it was amazing how, you know, in a split second, help me. And that's all I could say. And I love this. I love this idea where he says, they persecute me wrongfully, help me. They almost made an end of me on the earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me. Now, we're going to see this. He asks this a few times. I don't know about you guys, but I've been a Christian now for 41 years, and I always say that. The reason I say that is because it amazes me, right, that I've made it this far. But I like this because, you know, I need reviving. I don't know about you guys, but man, I need to be revived. I need to be filled again with the Spirit. I need to be reinfused with excitement and joy and His power and His zeal and his a willingness to share the gospel with others. Because I love that kind of a Christian life. So I love these words, revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Lord, I want to be faithful. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Isn't it neat that Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away? God's word is eternal. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to who? Us. To all generations. In 2023, God is still faithful. He endures to all generations. You established the earth, and it abides. I'm going to share tomorrow that, do you remember the story in the book of Joshua? One of the most incredible stories in the Bible. One of the most amazing miracles in the Bible. Joshua and them are going to battle, right? And they're fighting. And then they're not going to have enough time to win the battle. So God stops time. He stops the earth from spinning. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he stopped the earth from spinning, if he stopped all the universe, but time stood still. And it was an amazing miracle. But anyway, I'm going to share that tomorrow. When I was teaching those little kids, I was praying for God to miraculously speed up time so I could get out of there. But anyway, so you established the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances. God is in control of everything. The movements of the planets, the universe. You know, we're spinning at over 1,000 miles an hour right now. It gives a whole new meaning to Dizzy Blonde, right? No, just kidding. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Okay, I'm just teasing you. That is not for reals, okay? But we are spinning that fast. And we're going through the universe I can't remember. It's like crazy fast. The planet Earth is going through the universe, and the universe is moving, and all this stuff's happening. But it's all under control in God's miraculous control. And so you establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances for all your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. He said, Lord, I would have never made it without you. I would have never made it without your word. Lord, your word has brought me through all of the afflictions I've gone through in life. Verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I love that. God's word is life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. I love that. Can you guys say that? I'm yours to the Lord. I'm yours, Lord. And so he says, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. I think what he's saying here is he says, Lord, the things you've shown me, the things that you revealed to me are incredible. They're mind-blowing. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, it's good to think about and meditate on the things of God. Remind yourself. I would encourage you guys, if you've never done this, to maybe start doing this. But when you're reading your Bibles and you find a verse that really jumps out at you and speaks to you, here's what I've done a lot of this. I will underline it. And if it really speaks to me, I'll memorize it. And then if I memorize it, I put a little fish next to it. That means that I memorized this verse, right? He said, I love what it says here. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. You know, it's really neat, the wisdom that God gives us from his word. Just by learning it, just by knowing it. For they are ever with me. Your commandments, they make me wise. They're ever with me. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. That's pretty amazing. Whoever's writing this, if it's David. And then when you get to Solomon, Solomon was even, blessed with wisdom because he asked God for wisdom. He wanted wisdom in order to lead, and God gave him wisdom. He says, but because I keep your precepts, I have restrained my feet from every evil way. Oh, Lord, help us to do this. I have restrained my feet from every evil way. You know, Psalm 23 says, when Jesus is our shepherd and we're staying close to Jesus, what is he going to do? He will lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We won't be going on the wicked way, right? We won't be walking on the evil way when we're following Jesus, because he always leads us in paths of righteousness. So he says, I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. One of my huge weaknesses in life is sweets. It's horrible. I might eat something and I don't feel satisfied until I find something sweet to eat afterwards. Does anyone like that? Isn't it all? But you know what? You know, one of my favorite sweets is honey. I love honey. I love to put honey in lots of stuff. I put honey on my cereal. I put honey on my cereal. Oh, it's so yum, yum, yum. I was telling my mom, one of my favorite recipes has to do with honey. You get a couple of slices of bread. You put not peanut butter, but almond butter. You know what almond butter is, right? Put almond butter on it on one side on the slice. Then on the other slice, you just saturate it with honey. And then you let it sit there for like 10 minutes till the honey goes into the bread. And then you put them together, and it's kind of crispy and Oh, anyway, so I think I'm going to eat one when I get home. So how sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. that back then, that was probably their main source of sweets, right? Honey. Verse 104. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You know, the Bible teaches us to hate. A lot of people get mad when they hear that. But the Bible says to hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And here he says, I hate every false way. And so there are things that we should hate, right? We should love what God loves and hate what God hates. Verse 105, this one is powerful. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere where it's totally dark. And I remember Dee and I on our honeymoon. On our honeymoon, we decided to go to Red River. You know, nothing fancy, but we went up to Red River and we spent a couple of days there. And then on the way back, my uncle owned a cabin in the Hemis Mountains that had absolutely no anything, no electricity, no running water, nothing. So we were going to go up there and just kind of live primitive for a few days, you know, on our honeymoon. But when we were going up to the cabin, the car that we were going in was her little, she had a Camaro and it was super low and I bottomed it out. And so we got stuck. But we were about a mile from the cabin and we had no light, no flashlight. I had no foresight is what happened. And so we were carrying our food in the cooler, me and Dia, in pitch black. And it was so dark, you literally could not see the road. You could not look down and see. There was no moon out. It was just pitch black. And boy, it was just crazy dark. And what I just was hoping, and you know, neither of us fell over, none of us got hurt, we didn't run into a tree, whatever, and we made it finally. But you know, here it says, you know, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We live in a very dark world, and the world's full of darkness. Darkness is symbolic of evil, and in order to walk through this dark world, we need the Lord to light our way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so God has given us his word in order to show us how to live, show us how to walk, show us where to put our feet. You know, and it's awesome when we realize that God's word does that for us. And so let's continue on. He says, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. There's that word again, or those words again, revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Lord, may your word restore, build me back up, get me back on course. Verse 108, accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord. I think it's in the book of Hebrews that says, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do you know that praising him and talking to him and worshiping him is an offering, right? Accept, I pray, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. I think what he's basically saying here is, Lord, you know, all of us have been given our lives as a gift, right? And we can make choices that are good or bad or dumb or smart. And by the grace of God, may we follow the word of God to keep us from making dumb choices. I look back at my life in my BC days and I thank God I'm still here. It was only by the grace of God I didn't kill myself because I did so many stupid things or someone else killed me. But, you know, by the grace of God, he keeps us walking the course and the path we should be walking. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. I love this. It sort of gives me the idea that the wicked can't put the snare where Jesus is walking as our shepherd and we're close to him. Verse 111, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. We see the heart here, the importance of our hearts being yielded completely to the Lord. Verse 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Once more, we see the idea of hating certain things. Verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. You know, the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. I tell people this, especially young people, you know, be careful with the kinds of friends that you keep, that you surround yourself with. And so he says, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of God. When I got saved, I had to toss out all my friends. I'm sorry, but I did it. And the reason I did it is because they were such bad influences on me. And in my BC days, I was a bad influence on them too. So when I got saved, I knew they were going to try to pull me back into drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Right after I gave my life to the Lord, and praise the Lord, the guy I'm going to tell you about right now is so on fire for Jesus. He writes a daily devotional and sends it out to hundreds of people. But his name was Jeff, and he was one of my best friends. When I gave my life to Jesus, I knew that Jeff was going to try to pull me back into drugs. But I was ashamed because I didn't want to tell him I became a Christian. And so the very first time, right after I gave my life to the Lord on Easter Sunday, I think I saw him a few days after that, and I had made this commitment to the Lord. I didn't know what it really meant to be a Christian, except I said to the Lord, I promise, Lord, I want to live for you from this day on. And I don't want to do the stuff I've been doing. I don't want to do drugs anymore. I don't want to live like, I don't want to be a drunkard anymore. I don't want to be an immoral whoremonger anymore. I learned the word whoremonger at UNM, by the way, from this girl that was preaching to us once. Anyway, you whoremongers, you know, and I was like, oh, what does that mean? And so anyway, but you know, and so I had to depart. I had to get away from the bad influences. And the very first time I saw Jeff, after I gave my life to the Lord, I was in my car and he was in his car and he pulled over and I pulled over and we were across the street from each other. He goes, hey man, let's go smoke a joint. And I said, no, Jeff, I quit. And he goes, why? And I said, because I've been getting sick when I smoke pot. That was not lying. I was having panic attacks, but I had given my life to Jesus, but I didn't want to tell him that because I knew he'd mock me and laugh at me. Right? I was ashamed, unfortunately, at the very beginning to say that I was a Christian. And so he goes, come on, man. He goes, I'll pay you. And he showed me, I'll pay you $20 right now. He has a 20 hanging out the window. I'll pay you $20 right now if you go smoke a joint with me, he says. And then I took a 20 out and I go, I'll pay you 20 if you quit. And so we parted company. Anyway, so I couldn't hang around with him anymore. But you know what? Thank God the Lord brought some believers into my life. They started helping me grow and disciple me. And it was such a blessing. But, you know, I realized that I had to keep away from bad company. Bad company does corrupt good character. Verse 116, uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Ha ha. What was I? And I'm not ashamed of it anymore. You know, don't let me be ashamed of my hope. Let me be vocal to tell others about why I have this hope and what Jesus has done for me. Verse 117. Hold me up and I shall be safe. In other words, Lord, protect me. And I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes. For their deceit is falsehood. And so, you know, the Lord's not pleased with the wicked. Wow, look how far we still have to go. Oh, my Lord. Okay. We can do it. Okay. Verse 119. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. So he's like, Lord, I know you deal with the wicked in your way and in your time. Verse 120. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Now, we've talked about having a holy, good, a healthy fear of God, a reverence for God. That's a good thing. 121, I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. I love this. Lord, protect me and my family, all of us, the church. Verse 123, my eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. We see the diligence that he had. Verse 124, deal with your servant according to your mercy. Yes. How many of you want mercy? That's me every day. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Lord, help me to grasp these things. Verse 2026, it is time for you to act, O Lord. For they have regarded your law as void. He's like, Lord, deal with America. Lord, man, we need you bad here. Verse 127, therefore I love your commandments. More than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. Here again, I hate every false way. I think the more that you fall in love with the Lord, the more you realize what it means to live for Him, you recognize the bad ways, the false ways, and you don't want to have anything to do with those things. They're not good. I hate every false way. Verse 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. There's that again, cross-reference with your word, a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. The entrance of your words gives light, or understanding, gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. I love that. God's custom is to be merciful. God is a good, loving Father. Verse 133, direct my steps by your word. Once more, what do we need? The Lord to direct us in the right way. And His word will do that for us. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. Lord, don't let me get under the power of sin or the slavery of sin anymore. Break the chains off of me that Satan had over my life. Good thing to pray. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. It broke his heart to see people not living for God. And he said he wept like rivers of water running down his face. Verse 137, a righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. Just because you're following the Lord doesn't mean you won't go through trials, just so you know. Verse 144, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Lord, we need that every day. Verse 145, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you. Save me, and I will keep your testimonies. You know, when you get in a bad way, what should you do? Cry out. Cry out to the Lord. Save me. Verse 147. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. This is neat. What a great way to start your day. Talking to the Lord, crying out to the Lord to lead you and guide you and bless your day, help you that day. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. And so once more, when he couldn't sleep, he focused on God. Verse 149, hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. There's that request again, revive me once more. Verse 150, they draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Verse 153, consider my affliction. Once more, Lord, I need your help and deliver me. Consider my affliction and deliver me. Lord, help me. For I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Once more, revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. Doesn't matter what everything else is, whatever anyone else is doing, I'm going to serve you. Verse 158, I see the treacherous and am disgusted. There's nothing wrong with being disgusted about certain things. Certain things ought to disgust us because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth. Ah, great. Cover to cover, right? Anywhere you read in the scriptures, the whole of the word of God, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. That's why whatever book we're in is important. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. There's a verse in the book of Revelation at the end. It's like chapter 21, 22, somewhere in there. And it says, he who lieth, frieth in the King James. No, it doesn't really say that, but it does say if you lie, you will end up in hell. So anyway, that's just that's how I remember it. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Now, there are some people that will praise 3 times a day, 5 times a day, whatever. But, you know, I love this. 7 is the number of completeness, right? Of perfection. 7 times a day I will praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law. You want peace? Study God's word. Get close to him. And nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. I love that. Everything, our lives are an open book before God. Verse 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Lord, hear my prayers. When I cry out to you, Lord, hear. Deliver me according to your word. Verse 171, my lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for your commandments are righteous. Remember Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. When God's word is in your heart, then your tongue is going to speak it, right? My tongue shall speak of your word. Verse 173, let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. And finally, the last verse, with 4 minutes to spare, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. How many of you have done that? Right? Lord, help. You know, kind of thing. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Man, thank you, Lord, that you're a good shepherd that seeks after us when we get lost, when we mess up, when we do dumb stuff. Right? Sometimes we do that, unfortunately. But I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. For I do not forget your commands. Amen. There it is. We did it. There's a lot of great stuff in here. Great stuff to read. Great stuff to remember. Great stuff to meditate upon. Some great verses in here to memorize. You know, it's such a blessing. Next time, we will do the next psalm. And so that will be Psalm 120. So that's where we're at next week. Maybe we'll do 2, Psalm 120. Yeah, since now that we're used to this, we'll just do like 20 more Psalms. No, just kidding. We'll do a couple more probably next time. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word, Lord, that really is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, we need your word to guide us in this dark world. We need you to speak to us, to give us understanding, to revive us. To guide us, Lord, to protect us. Everything that we learned tonight, we need you. Bottom line, and Lord, we need to stay dependent upon you daily. Daily dependence, Lord. And so help us to remember that. Most important thing in life, daily dependence upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Have a great night.